I think the hardest part about preaching is certain things that we understand at a conceptual level, we don't really understand on a practical level. And our spirituality can often be so abstract that it doesn't really make a difference in our day-to-day lives. And that would make me feel like a failure if all I did was make you feel okay for like 45 minutes while you were here. And because my job to give you something that will strengthen you. And I take that job seriously. But it's a challenge because, you know, take a verse like we just read. We read two verses. Verse 35 is the one I'm thinking about. Jesus is quoting a proverb. It's a farming proverb, a Middle Eastern proverb. And it's ancient. It's not something we walk around saying. So just put it back up on the screen, verse 35. He says to his audience, don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? So we don't have that saying. So now I'm trying to take a saying that they said that we never say. Most of us don't say walk around saying that. Maybe you do. It's 4 months till harvest. But it's not exactly a part of our modern vernacular, right? And like it's doubly hard because this is an agricultural culture. Agricultural culture. And we don't most of us don't have a lot of familiarity with farming. Any farmers in the house? See, not that many. So you get it that it's hard for me to use an agricultural example in an app store world. Context is so important. Context is how you have compassion for someone. You can talk about what they ought to do, but you are not them. And if you were them, you might not be doing as good as they are doing with the situation that they're living up under. Without understanding someone's context, it's very hard to have compassion for them. And that's why I make Holly preach a couple times a year so she can put up with me better, because she's real nice to me after she preaches, because once she understands what it's like to have to stand up and look at you, try to get you excited. Some of y'all sitting there, bless me if you can, big boy. You know, so I make her do it a couple times a year, and maybe that's why she leaves the kids with me a couple times a year without any help, just so we can understand one another's context. And so every concept needs a context, and context is what brings clarity. And so they text you something, you get offended, and then you find out that they had the worst day of their life and they were at the hospital, and it really wasn't that they were trying to be short with you. It's just that their world doesn't revolve around you. And so it turns out you're mad at them for nothing, but you wouldn't have known that unless you got the full context. And maybe you've thought a certain thing about black people or white people or, you know, people who are in the medical profession, and then you have family members in the medical profession, or you have somebody come into your family who's black or white, and then now all of a sudden you have to take what was a concept, which is all people are created equal, and you have to work it into the context of practical application. And it becomes more difficult than to shout about unity when everybody in the church is white or black. Concepts are sometimes sexy. Example. You want an example? I can tell you one an example. Because you've heard of first world problems. You might have heard of white girl problems. One time, one of my friends said he was going to make a hashtag because I was telling him about our parking situation at the church. And And I was telling it to him like it was a problem. And he said, I'm going to make a hashtag for you. Bless church problems. The concept of a growing church sounds good. Until you have to find a parking space in a growing church in the rain on the week after Easter. Just hypothetically speaking here. But isn't it funny how many things are hypothetically really fun to talk about, you know, hypothetically, to talk about a harvest. Hypothetically now, I have been in this game for a little while now. I've been preaching since I was 16. That's 21 years. Whoa. And I've been all over the world and preached, and Praise the Lord for it. And sometimes when you get to preaching, it doesn't go too well. And so you have these little things as a preacher that you can go to help you if the crowd is not into it. If the crowd is kind of hard, you can talk about, what's one you can use? Here's a great one. Shouting, the walls will fall. And you could get a response from it. One time Graham heard me say that, shout till the walls fall down. He said, Daddy, why would you want the walls to fall down? Think about it. He doesn't know Joshua chapter 6, that the Israelites were going into Canaan, and they had a command from God to defeat all of these different possessors of the land so that they could have the promise. And so in his mind, if the walls collapse, that's bad. Just like if I said right now in a different context to this section of the Ballantyne location, shout and the walls will fall, you would either be quiet or move. You don't want the walls to fall. But something about the context of it, that there are things in your life that are keeping you from what God has promised you. And on the other side of that wall, come on, it's the promise of God. And now when I tell you, if you praise him, whatever is blocking your perspective, every partition that is keeping you from possessing the promise of God, it's got to fall in your life. Now shout and the walls are going to fall. But then when the walls fall, then what? Well, then you got to fight. So now do you still want to shout? Now that we've got it in context. Because people shout over victory, but they don't want any battles. The concept, I am more than a conqueror. Yeah, but you don't want any conflict. How are you going to be a conqueror without a conflict? What, you going to fight your couch cushions? This thing about context really gets me. I'm going to church today. Well, the early church, that's not bad. I think you should come to church, and it's okay to say I'm going to church. I know what you mean. They didn't mean that in the original context of the Bible. The church was not a building. It wasn't a 501c3 organization. They didn't have all that. So church couldn't be where they went and had to be who they were. And they had to take it. And when people called them a cult, they knew who they were. We are the church. You could call us a cult. You can say what you want about us. But the more you persecute us, the more we will populate the earth with the purpose of God. So in our context, when we say, are you going to church, it would be foreign to the early church. They would go, going to church? When are you ever not church? Church is what you are. Worship. We use the word worship. It's our concept of worship. We'll say, I missed worship. I missed worship, but I got there for the word. To Paul, it would be one thing. He would not understand that concept because he got ready to define worship. One time he said, therefore, in view of God's mercy, that's the context, what he's done for you, offer yourself as a living sacrifice. That's like that animal that they would put on the altar in the Old Testament, and that animal would have to die for the sacrifice to be acceptable. And he said, your life ought to be like that sacrifice. You are dead to yourself. You are dead to your preference. You are alive to the purpose of God. This, Paul said, is your spiritual act of worship. Not just this. Hallelujah. 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 No. It's a bigger context. And so sometimes you get clarity not by zooming in, but by zooming out and seeing the concept in a larger context. And what happens is we use terminology in a way that it was never intended to be used, and we water down the meaning of it. So this becomes a performance. Rather than participating in it, rather than contributing, you consume it. And we do it all the time. The other day, I sent a message to somebody, and they didn't respond, a text message, and they didn't respond. And it wasn't because what I said earlier, that they had a bad day. It's because now you don't have to respond to a text message, on at least on iPhone, which Christians use. you can just like the message, like you can like a post. Have you seen this yet? You could just tap the screen. And it's not even called liking it, it's called loving it. You hit the heart and you love the message. And so now we've got love. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. So love sacrifices even his only son. But now love taps the screen. So it's not bad. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm not saying don't go to church. I'm not saying we can't call it worship. We have a whole team called Elevation Worship. My point is that every concept needs a context. And so when we say harvest, most of us have no idea. As my mom used to say, you wouldn't know a harvest if it hit you upside the head. My mom used to say that to me. I'd say, Mom, this is hard. This homework is hard. She'd say, you wouldn't know hard work if it hit you upside the head. She would say that to me as a little boy, because the context in which we hear harvest is much different. Because again, how many of you grew up on a farm? I do not mean you had cucumbers in your backyard one time. I mean, like, really, you have real farm experience. Raise your hand. Like really farm experience. Cause I don't, and I need a little help, because I'm reading this passage where Jesus said, you have a saying, 4 months to harvest. Now, when I hear harvest, I get happy, because that means God is about to do something in my life. So when I hear harvest, what I hear is, you know, I've worked hard, I plowed, I sowed, I watered, I cried, I waited, I was patient, I wasn't weary in well-doing, and now I'm going to reap what I sow. So now it's time for me to sit back and enjoy the harvest. Because harvest is the time, right? If you live on the farm, where you just sit back and... oh, no? Hold on, this sister's helping me because she has context that we don't have. How many of you have never been on a farm, don't intend to be on a farm, and don't even like to warm up stuff in the microwave because it feels a little bit... It takes a little too long. Hey, so harvest, because in my mind now, I heard harvest, you know, like the walls fall down, breakthrough, blessed. When I hear harvest, I feel like it means God's about to hook me up. So now I've really worked, but that's not how it is. You grew up on a farm? A real farm. So hard. I'm going to say what she says in my microphone, because she's saying some stuff and I want you to hear it, but I don't know her, so I'm not giving her a microphone at this point in our relationship. It's too early. Go ahead. We had corn is over 8 feet tall. So during harvest, you sleep in?
No.
Oh, no? Because my concept of harvest is a blessing. Listen what this girl just said. I might give her a microphone if she keeps preaching. Look, you didn't hear her. Turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor what she just said. She said, the corn is not going to pick itself. Oh, God. You sure you're not a preacher? It's not going to pick itself. You have a saying, the harvest is here. Well, maybe the concept of harvest has been a little watered down, and maybe we don't understand. I heard a preacher preach one time, and he said, the harvest is the hardest part. That's when you're waking up the earliest. That's when you're going to bed the latest, during the harvest. I just noticed something. They stopped shouting now. The first time I said harvest, the harvest is here, there was a lot of shouting, but we gave it context. And now I'm realizing that harvest isn't like Krispy Kreme. Harvest is not a hot now sign. Harvest doesn't mean I drive through and pick it up and eat it while I'm driving off. Ask our worship team about the harvest. They've been out on the road. Pray for them. They've been out on the road on this tour. We wrote these songs in the church, and we've been singing them, and now they're being sung all over the world. So guess what they're doing? They're working. They are working. They've been touring. I think they're going to 20 cities, 22 cities, lots and lots of cities to get the harvest, to get the harvest. Because we sowed, and now we want to reap. But you can't reap with your feet up. Okay. Well, I'm trying. It's hard. It's hard. Harvest is hard. Preaching is hard because you're eating. You don't have to study anything to come here. You don't have to write anything down. You can just steal the pen and use it for other ungodly purposes. But for me, it's not easy. People will say, oh, didn't you enjoy Easter, Pastor Stephen? No, not really. Not really. It was exhausting. All those different worship experiences. Now, I'm going to enjoy the result of it. But reaping isn't easy. Reaping isn't easy. Somebody said to me this week, can't wait to hear the sermon and see what God downloaded. It wasn't a download. I dug it out. I dug this out so that you could get the download. But what you receive as a download, somebody had to dig out. It takes work. Somebody had to sow so that you could reap.
Hey, thank you for watching. Make sure you subscribe to this channel so you don't miss a single video or live stream. And share this video with a friend. And don't forget, you can join me live every Sunday. Thanks again for watching.